In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In 2002, there was a Kansas City pharmacist who was sentenced to 30 years in federal prison because he had diluted 98,000 prescriptions sold to over 4,200 patients. And these diluted prescriptions also included chemotherapy drugs. We've heard of these kind of crimes. Fund managers have given investors false financial reports. And when the scam finally unraveled, people discovered that they were really broke when they thought they had quite a bit of money. Or bankers told real estate appraisers how much a home needed to appraise for to make sure that the mortgage loan could be approved. And when the housing market collapsed, families discovered that they owed more than their house had been worth in the first place. What kind of people do these things? The father of the Kansas City pharmacist was a traveling minister. And he said that his son had been an ideal son growing up. And that was more than just a gilded memory of a child years earlier. The pharmacist, even as he was diluting these prescriptions, was on the governing board of the church he attended. The people who knew him from the church said he was an upstanding guy. He was a real gentleman. How could someone raised in the church and who is still serving the church stoop so low? Amos said, "Hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring ruin to the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so we may sell grain? And the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We'll make the ephah small and the shekel great. We'll practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling even the sweepings of the wheat.'" Cries for justice such as this have given Amos the reputation of as the prophet of social justice. If you want verses to use against the corruption in the business world or the political arena, Amos is going to be your go-to book. It's easy to apply that reading from Amos today to those sensational cases that garner national attention. It's easy for the 99% to point to the 1% and say, those are the people that Amos was talking about. But what if this is a warning for us as well? What if Amos was warning the average people of his day about the dishonesty that was rampant in Israel at the time? In his description of the attitude of those who had oppressed the poor, Amos tells us that they were saying, "When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale?" The new moon was the first day of the month, and of course the Sabbath was the last day of the week, and both of those were supposed to be days of rest. They were days set aside for the people to focus their attention on the Lord and upon the law and upon worship. And all those who oppressed the poor apparently observed a prohibition against conducting business on those days all throughout the day as they were supposed to be turning their attention to the Lord. What was really going through their mind was, when is this day going to be over so I can get back to business? When am I going to be free from this obligation to set something aside for the Lord so I can start gaining stuff for myself again? When I was growing up in Colorado, in the Mountain Time Zone, the early football games started at noon rather than 2 o'clock. And during football season, the pastor knew that he'd better wrap things up by 11:30 or people might not be able to make it home for opening kickoff. And if the sermon went a little long, people started to cough. And if the pastor continued after the coughs began, a few people started looking at their watch and then coughing so he'd get the point. When is this sermon going to be over so I can get to the game? You see, the root of injustice in Israel was idolatry. They may have observed the Sabbath outwardly, but their minds were not turning toward the Lord. Their thoughts were about how they could make more money the next day. And when we start to think, how can I make more tomorrow? We start to come up with plans like unjust scales or diluting prescriptions. If their thoughts had really turned toward the Lord, they would not have cheated their customers. They would not have oppressed the poor if their focus was on the law God had given to Israel and the grace that He had poured out on them. You see, there's always a danger that we can have a formalistic view of the church and of the sacraments. We can go through the motions but forget what it's all about. That's one of the reasons we're going to be looking at the sacraments and milestones in our gift program this year, to refocus our attention so we remember what this is all about. We need to remember that we're approaching the living God, and that's an awesome privilege, and we must never take it lightly. There's been a lot of talk about social justice in the last couple of years. There was the Occupy Wall Street movement, and then today there's the Black Lives Matter movement. And maybe they don't have everything right. Maybe they're looking at things wrong sometimes. But whether we agree with all that these movements have to say, they're pointing us to the fact that there is still injustice in our society. There are still those who are oppressing the poor and who are willing to sell the needy for a pair of sandals. But this isn't the first time that we've had these kinds of movements. In fact, there were social justice movements beginning at the time of the foundation of our nation. We've been trying to get it right for 240 years. And you might think that by now we would have overcome injustice. And although we have made great strides in the right direction, the more we fight to overcome injustice, the more it appears that we'll never be able to do it completely. Perhaps the problem is that we haven't addressed the root of the issue. Perhaps the problem is in this nation we've tried to overcome injustice without having to give up our idolatry. Because idolatry will always breed injustice. We can never rightly love our neighbor unless we first rightly love our God. Jesus said, "No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We can't serve two masters. We can't serve the Lord and an idol, because the two are always going to come into conflict, and we'll have to choose which one we are going to serve in the end. The pharmacist who diluted those prescriptions while serving on the governing board of his church had to choose between serving the Lord and serving wealth. And you know, when it got to that point, I bet it seemed a pretty clear choice. But for most of us, the choice isn't quite so obvious. For many of us, the choice might be, how can I modify my lifestyle a little bit so I have more time to devote to the service of the Lord and of others? Do I really need to eat out as often as I do? Do I really need the latest smartphone? Do I really need the newest designer fashions? If we're devoted to the Lord, the answer will be fairly simple. We'll know which direction we are to choose. But if we've made wealth an idol, our hearts will be pulled in many different directions. And wealth isn't the only idol that causes injustice. For some people, physical appearance is an idol. For others, social status can be an idol. For some, political power is their idol. For others, it might be a relationship or set of relationships that are the idol. But if we give our hearts to any master other than the Lord, it will always lead us to act with injustice, because we'll be seeking something other than God's plan for creation. The good news is there is a way to achieve justice in our world. And that way is to make the Lord our master. Because we can't mistreat our neighbor when we devote ourselves to Jesus. We can't deal dishonestly when we're serving the Lord. We can't help but seek freedom for the oppressed when our thoughts are focused on the freedom that Christ Jesus won for us and has given us so freely as a gift of grace. The good news is, Jesus wants to set us free from injustice. He wants to set us free from the idols that have enslaved the world. And when we give our hearts to Him, we will find that freedom. When this world sets aside its idols, then finally there will be justice. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.